Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hello, welcome to another Executive Edition. I'm Matthew Breaker. Today, I'm talking to Lyles Jeff 3. He's one of the most knowledgeable people I know about Pokemon Go and was willing to sit down and talk to me again about regionals and what you can expect if it's your first time. You could follow him on Twitch at Lyles Jeff 3, where he's a part of the BTW network. If you want to support our show and be a part of a cool community of PvP, you could join our Patreon, patreon.com/BTWPvP, where you can get access to our exclusive Discord for as little as $1 a month. Also, please subscribe to our YouTube channel, BTWPvP Official, for content that we drop throughout the week, as well as some exciting things we have cooking up. With all that out of the way, here's Lyles Jeff 3.
We prefer a Lundo, if possible, just so I can save some dust.
Yeah.
I like the Lundos.
Yeah.
Just like honestly, like then I can build more stuff, right?
Right. No, that's lucky, the whole point.
You can build a lot more things. So
yeah, I hear you, dude. But yeah, thanks for coming on to do this. I wanted it to be like different than the other executive editions, more just like low key, and I just kind of wanted to sort of talk to you about what your experience was like in Vancouver, just so like people that are going to Columbus and Milwaukee even will sort of have an idea of what
we're gonna have this out this week.
Yeah, this will be out on Thursday. Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, so I just kind of wanted to get like a general sense of what were you doing like just leading up to Vancouver. How did you prepare you know, even like a week into it?
Well, there's like a couple different sides, because there's like the prepare for the game wise, and then there's prepare for the trip.
Right.
So definitely like make sure you have obviously your vaccinations all in order. You need to make sure you have all the documentation for that. Make sure you have you know, your passport if you're going out of country, you know, things like that. But yeah, in terms of for the actual competition itself, I think you should really just set your team at least a week or two before the competition, and I would advise not tinkering too much with it. You want to really try to learn those matchups best you can, because when you're at the competition, you don't have much time to actually like strategize about your opponent's team, right?
Right.
So you need to know your team in and out in order to be able to make those decisions as quick as possible.
What is that time frame going from when you are called into your match, like actually sitting down at the table and battling? How much time is
yeah, so
between?
How it works is they'll update the bracket, and you just kind of have to keep an eye on that. And so let's say it will update. It will tell you the area that, like, the table number that you have to go to. And then you just go there, you meet your opponent, and you exchange your game sheets. And then your team sheets. And from that point, you're just kind of, like, logging into the phone. You kind of do, like, maybe sometimes they get you to do, like, a practice battle with just, like, some random teams just to make sure that, like, the connectivity is working.
Right.
yeah. So depends on how long you want to make your opponent wait for, I guess, but
so
really
let's
you only have a minute or two, maybe, like,
right,
a couple minutes.
So let's take it back then from when you're, like, entering. You said team sheets. So mm-hmm. what does that entail? You're actually, like, physically writing down your mm-hmm. your team, and then you're taking that with you to hand to your opponent?
Yes, so there's two team sheets you need. You need one that you're giving to the judges, and you need one that you're giving to the opponents. So they're pretty similar, but the one you give to the judges have your move sets on them, and the one you're giving to your opponents don't have your move sets on them. And also, the one you give to the judges has the in-game nicknames that you give to your Pokemon as well, whereas to your opponent... you just give the name of the Pokemon, as well if it's Shadow or Purified. And you also need to denote if a Pokemon is your active best buddy.
Okay, I got you.
So, like, for me, Lickitung was my active best buddy, even though I had Sableye on my team that had the best buddy ribbon. Lickitung was my best buddy, so.
Right, so it was getting the extra... The stat mm-hmm. Is the CP listed as well on the sheet?
Yeah. You
okay.
need to list the CP as well. So you would
okay.
list the, like, buddied CP.
Yeah. And then you had talked about how the matches are listed. Is that through an app, or do they have
they have a little, like, kind of like a monitor there.
Okay.
At least in Vancouver they did, where you could check that, or you can just check on the website. Like, most people were just checking on their mobile device, right? It
right.
would just, like, refresh automatically. And then if you did need to go use the bathroom or something, just make sure you let the judge know if your match isn't up, so that, because they were pretty like strict on like timing, so
right,
because there's a lot of matches, so they have to make sure that things are going ahead, like, as quick as possible, sort of. So
do you know how many people were at your regional participating in Vancouver?
I think there was roughly 64 people registered. I'm not sure how many people were actually there. I don't think it was much less than that. I didn't hear of too many people that were no-shows. There might have been a couple, but I think for the most part there was somewhere between 50 to 60 people, roughly, in that range.
Okay, so you have, like, the main bracket. I'm assuming, besides just, like, the main televised stage that we all see on stream, what's the setup like outside of that for battlers? Because they seem to have, like, the chairs, you know, the stage, and a judge sitting right next to them. Are all the battles, at least with, like, a judge next to them?
I wouldn't say the judge is next to you. Like, with some of the early rounds, the judge isn't next to you, but there's, like, a judge assigned to each, like, table, sort of.
Okay.
So sometimes there might be, like, 3-4 people battling at the same table, like, groups. But if there is any, like, issues, you can, like, call the judge over pretty quickly. And obviously, we're supposed to be screen recording everything. That's our responsibility as a battler. So if there
okay.
is any sort of disputes or anything, that can be checked on. But yeah, it's basically just regular, like, probably like a folding table with, like, a Pokemon placemat on it or something. Or Pokemon,
right.
like, you know, table.
Not breaking out the budget for that.
And
that
like a regular chairs.
Okay.
Like folding chairs or something. And then... there was, like, a little tiny divider in the middle, but it was, like, very small. And
okay.
And there was actually phone stands. You could, like, tap on with the phone on the stand there if you wanted to, or you could pick it up and hold it in your hand.
Right. Now, were you using their sanctioned devices, or were you using your own? Okay.
It's like a Samsung or something. It was definitely a little different than my device because it was kind of skinnier.
Did that throw you off at all when you were
banging? Definitely, yeah, I did a couple times. I need to do more practice without my phone case on because I have a really thick phone case.
Okay.
And I'm very used to using that phone for battling, right? So it definitely was a little, felt a little like, I don't know.
Is that something that you would recommend for people that are going to regionals is really practice with as thin of a like form factor as you can, just in case, like,
yeah, like devices. If you're used to having like a big like I have like an OtterBox case, if you're used to having like a big case on your phone, I would definitely recommend trying to do some GBL or some Sylph battles or something without the case on, just to get a little more comfortable with like not having such a big case on your phone, because it is just a phone, right? There's no, most people have some sort of case on their phone, I would assume, because just for protection, right?
Right.
Even if it's not the thickest one, it's still something. So the phones there can be a little like slick sort of feeling at times, right?
Okay.
Because it's just the actual like phone itself. But yeah, and I also make sure you need to log out of your logging. Just going quick side note about the phones and the setup. So you log into your whatever Google account or something on the phone, whatever you're using. And then not only do you have to sign out in Pokemon Go, but you need to go to the settings and remove your Google account from the device. And that's very important because there was a couple times when I went to pick up a phone and I was logged into somebody else's Pokemon Go account. So,
So protect your account. If there's one thing that you'd preach is make sure you log out.
Log out and delete your information from the phone.
Yeah.
Because it will remember you. So right. Even if you log out from the game, when you log back into Pokemon, open the app again, it will just like bring you right back into the last account if you don't delete it from the settings. So
right. So there was no espionage that you could do if that was the case. Yeah.
Not really.
But so you would be, you'd be battling, you would win or lose and then go down to like the loser's bracket or continue on. What was like the time frame in between like your first battle to like the next round? Was it pretty much like right away?
Earlier on, it was a little quicker. Then as it was progressing, it was a little, it got longer. Like, like I won my first battle. And then I lost my second battle, and which was fairly quick after the first battle. And then I won two more battles after that, I believe, in the loser's bracket. And then when I was waiting for my next opponent, it was going to be the loser of the stage battle that time.
Okay.
So I kind of was like waiting for a little bit. I told the judge like, oh, I'm going to go to the bathroom or something. And then just try to like, you know, calm down, clear my head. And unfortunately, Dialap lost on the stage. Apparently he made some misplays, and then that was great for me. So really happy he misplayed on the stage so that I got to lose to him.
What kind of things were you doing in between your matches to calm yourself or like to prepare
yourself? Just chatting with people, trying to chat with your opponents a little. I was trying to chat with the opponents a bit, just like break the tension, make some jokes or something.
Did you feel like a sense of like seriousness around it that was just uncomfortable for you?
I wouldn't say it was uncomfortable, but like it did feel like kind of bad when you're like looking at someone and like you just like eliminated them. Like I was going up against in my first round, match. I was going up against one person. I forget his name right now. It was like a Walrin Mir lead.
Okay.
And then, so he went straight Earthquake. I think we double shielded. He went straight Earthquake. I baited him one time with Icicle Spear, and he shielded it. So, like, after I won the match, he was like, yo, that bait was, like, really good. And I just, like, I did feel a little bad. I was like, oh, God, like.
Yeah, because it's, like, in person.
He's, like, sad because I, like, made him shield an Icicle Spear, you know, on his, like, right. double resisted move on his wall ring.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. And your first live battle in a while? I know that you obviously dominate like the BTW server and
so. This is my first live tournament like ever. So
okay.
I've just started playing during the pandemic. So
right.
In like 2020, late 2020. So, I never had taken part. I was like, honestly, I was like super nervous. It was like really. It was really bad. I'm going to have to do some more, I think, exercise and, like, meditation or something to try to get ready
right
for the next one because it was really bad. Like, it's tough to play well when you're that nervous. So
right, yeah. I would imagine just, like, the nerves in general.
I think that got to, like, a lot of people. Not going to lie. Like, I don't want to speak out of turn for anyone, but I know, like, Ryze has been to 2 regionals now, and he's struggled quite a bit, and we all know how good of a battler he is.
Yeah.
And Doonbug has also been to 2 regionals now, and he did a bit better than Indianapolis as well, but he also has struggled a bit, and I can't say for certain what the reason is, but definitely it's stressful, and, you know, it doesn't matter how good of a battler you are. Anyone can beat anyone on any given day, so
sure.
You just gotta be, you know, just gotta try your best, and at the end of the day, you just have to remember it's just about, like, getting out there, meeting the community, having a good time, and hopefully getting some wins. So,
yeah, what was, like, a memory that you have at the event that didn't have to do with the battle that stands out to you?
I think just, like, getting to meet people, like one guy on my friends list, he's from, like, Barrie, and he was there, his Magmar Man.
Okay.
In game name, Magmar Man. Yeah, like, I was like, oh, because he was wearing, like, a Barrie shirt. I was like, oh, you're from Barrie too? And he's like, yeah, I'm Magmar Man. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I'm Wild Jeffs. And he was like, oh, yo, what's
yeah,
up,
so
guy?
Yeah, so you got to make the like connections. That. Yeah.
Because, like, you know, I talked to these people online or whatever, but I never, like, actually met them in person. So you don't know what they look like.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was a good one. Another really cool thing I found was the special research at the venue was Sock.
So, oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, keep that in mind. Like, if you're going to Milwaukee or you're going to Columbus, even the day before the tournament started, on the Friday, it was also Sock. So do the special research around the I got a bunch of Sock for trade. If you guys are looking for some socks, I got you covered. And it was a throw nest. And I think I think it's the opposite in the other parts of the world. It's a sock nest, and they have throw from research. So
that's something that I don't think a lot of people know. Are there special bonuses for the people at the events for Pokemon Go?
Well, there's just some extra Pokestops and stuff. And like I said, there's special research at the Pokestops around the event. Because I think it's kind of like they're like fighting types, and they're kind of like. Sock and throw, like, it's kind of like the duo, so I think that's kind of the theme that they were going for. But yeah, I was definitely catching the throw because of the fighting cup that was coming up. I was like, oh shit, I need to catch this thing.
Right.
And I got the rank 1 for Ultra League throw, so maybe if it ever gets like a move buff one day, like, you never know, right?
Right. What would you say for, like, traveling, any tips for, like, booking your hotel or transportation while you're there? Because I know that you're purchasing your entry, your registration for these regionals a couple months in advance. Do you recommend when you're doing your purchasing of your ticket, like, you immediately try to go in and get your hotel? Or is it, did you find that, you know, it's okay to book a little later, scout some things out where things fill up really quick?
I think it's like a personal preference thing. I would definitely recommend trying to like coordinate with people you know that are going if possible, just to save a little bit on the costs. Like for the Columbus, the BTW crew is going to be getting together, which is going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. Things like that. So I know a lot of factions, they were doing like sort of faction houses and stuff like that where they were getting together. Or if you're in driving range, maybe there's some other people from your local city that are also going to be going. You can carpool, find ways to save a bit of cash that way. Is always a good idea.
Now, do you think that having people that you're familiar with and have chatted and built up a rapport with, you know, in the BTW Discord is going to make Columbus a little less nerve-wracking and maybe make you feel a little more comfortable while you're there because you've already been to a competition and then this time you're actually, like, around your people?
I think I will definitely be a little more comfortable because I've already kind of been there, met a bunch of people from the community. So I'll like, it won't be like meeting these people for the first time. So definitely will be a little more relaxing from that standpoint, I believe. So,
and then for the people at the event that you were meeting for the first time, not necessarily like content creators, but what was sort of like the vibe that you were getting from people? Were they relatively friendly? Was everybody, you know, in the midst of competition really serious?
Everyone was pretty friendly. There was a couple of people that after I finished battling, they were very focused, let's say. Not that they were being rude or anything, but they were just very determined on, you know, let's say, or very in the zone, maybe you can put it. So, which is completely understandable, right? Like it's high stakes. If you know, trip to Worlds, a trip to, a lot of people haven't been to England, and it's a free trip to play Pokemon. You know,
right.
Like that is a high stakes. And but yeah, I will say that everyone was very nice. Like, I still have a couple people on my friends list that I met there, and honestly, like one of the, I like just basically when I first thing I got there, as I started asking people like, hey, have you done a special trade yet today? Did you do a special trade yet today? Do you want to trade me a Tapu Fini?
Yeah, I figured you were going on the Tapu Fini grind, right?
And then so the first trade I did was with, I think his name was Daxu.
Okay.
And he wanted a Cresselia, and I traded him a Tapu Fini. So he actually got a Great League Crest out of that trade, and I got a very shit IV Tapu Fini.
What are you going for this time around in Columbus?
Oh, Tapu Fini.
Okay. You still have more. Just like an army that you're...
Give me more. I want all the Tapu Fini or Registeel.
Okay.
I would prefer to get a better ranked one for Great League if possible. So,
got you.
My so Ultra League one is pretty good. So
if you're listening or watching this on YouTube and you see Lyle and you have a Tapu Fini or a Registeel, come hit him up. So how many special trades do you get?
Two special trades a day right now for the season.
Okay.
And when I was in Vancouver, it was only one a day, so two would have been really nice.
Yeah.
And then we also have the community day on the Sunday.
Oh, that's right. Which is,
or it's a Saturday maybe in Columbus. So, which is three special trades that day. So,
yeah.
Hopefully, you know, at least maybe five, six more shots at another good, better Great League Tapu Fini. So,
I got you. Well, I appreciate talking to you. I know that this isn't as long as our usual executive editions, but that was kind of the point. We just wanted to get this out to the people and give them something to be able to listen to, get some idea of what to expect going out to compete. So, Lyle, I appreciate you coming on again.
Perfect. Yeah, thank you so much for having me on, Matthew. And just wishing everyone good luck. And if they are traveling to a regional tournament, and just, you know, stay calm and believe in yourself and You know, don't get too intimidated by the people that you're going up against, because anyone can beat anyone on any given day. So,
wise words. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody. Until next time, good luck and get good.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.